June Robbins is running for the District 4 Pender County Board of Education seat. In the primary, she defeated Reginald Moore. And the first question I have for you is, what sets you apart from the other candidates?
What sets me apart is that I know every area of Pender County. I have either taught school or was a administrator from north, south, east to west. I know the different cultures in the county. I know different pockets of people, how they think, what they're concerned with. I know who to get in contact with for answers. And I think that that is an advantage for someone working on a school board, that you're working with local government. You're working with local commissioners. I know the commissioners. In fact, one of the commissioners used to be one of my students. You have to have a working relationship with them. And then together, you've got to form some type of nonpartisan working relationship with the legislature. We're in a disastrous situation where Pender County has not started school yet. We're on the fourth week out. The local governments, the local school board cannot. They do not have it in their fund balance to fix the roofs and get rid of the mold and that type thing. So you have to have a relationship. We've got a problem. Let's not blame people, point fingers. Let's just fix it.
And so far, the current board is struggling with how to fix it?
The current board is. We are in a situation where historically, traditional schools have started all at one time. But this is a unique situation where you have schools that pass the air quality test, but yet you have schools that do not pass the air quality test. So I'm not privy to inside information, obviously, because I'm not on the board. As far as the money, what does broke mean? You know, we've got the essence from the superintendent that the school board's broke. What does that mean? Does that mean zero broke, or does that mean below $1 million broke? I think the problem is answer these questions. Can we start school at different times for different schools? Can we put two schools in one building? Can we call it shifting? Do we have to start schools traditional all on the same day? Can we keep up with who starts when and who starts? We've got a brand new school in Penderley, just opened, first class today. Brand new school. Why can't we shift that school? In other words, why can't we put local schools that are less than 10 miles away from this brand new school? Why can't we use the brand new school for two schools, possibly three schools, just to get school started? The mold that is being extricated, is it hurricane mold, or is it mold that's been there forever, and now it's accumulated and we've got hurricane to go with that? What's wrong with our maintenance if that's the case? Do we have to stay on 1,000 instructional hours a year? Can we go back to the number of days? Because we may not get the 1,000 instructional hours, but we can do half days or a little bit over 6-hour days to accumulate the days that we need to make up. So there's a lot of questions, and I don't think our board is prepared for that.
Let's talk about your priorities. Should you be elected to this position, what do you see as the three or four priorities that you would want to focus on first?
The first one is keeping up with growth in Pender. Like I said, we've opened up two schools, one on the eastern side in Surf City and one on the northern side. The northern side will grow because I predict that that's the only area that didn't flood, and there's a lot of people looking for high ground. So that's a possibility. Surf City, though, is going to continue to grow. There's always going to be a new school. So keeping up with growth, we need another high school on the eastern side, Scotts Hill area, wherever they, you know, you can accommodate land. So that's number one. Number two, we still do not have broadband countywide. And, of course, we're in a disaster area now where if we had broadband, it's probably not, the internet's probably not working just for the mere fact of cable lines and that type thing. But we still need to work on that. Number three, we need to continue to have a relationship with the county commissioners. Now, the county commissioners are going to balk and say, I'm sorry, we gave you $5 million. If it's spent, that's all we're going to do. But we know that by law, the county commissioners have to maintain the schools in a disaster situation. So we've got to continue to do that. Number four, I want to go in, the new board needs to go in and not micromanage the departments. That's not what a school board does. However, there have been many questions over the last 5 or 6 years on certain departments. Parents telling me they can't get information. They've asked for information. No one calls them back. We need to have someone in there like myself that would be accessible to the public. That's my job. When I was a principal, I was accessible to the public. If a parent called, within 24 hours, I had an answer one way or the other. Those are the four things.
You seem to be painting Pender County's Board of Education as somewhat dysfunctional, as I'm hearing it. Is that an accurate interpretation?
I wouldn't say totally dysfunctional, but I would say there are some elements I think that can be easily changed. And I think that this particular board has to think outside the box. You know, you just cannot do status quo. For example, one board member's been on there for 20 years. You cannot do status quo now that you did 20 years ago. You have to understand that you are a public servant to the people that elect you. I'm afraid that that's not there either. The public servant, if you are there to solve a problem or help to maintain good service, say, you have to be accessible. And that bothers me when I hear people saying, you know, well, I've called my board member, he never called back. So dysfunctional may be a too strong a word, but I would say that there are lots of areas that we could shore up.
What about school security? Mm-hmm. What does Pender County, how does it handle it now, and what suggestions might you have to improve the level of safety in the public schools?
Okay. School security, there is no doubt that there is an open dialogue between the school system and first responders. Carson Smith, the sheriff, would tell you that. First responders on EMS would tell you that. They have begun with what they call the ALICE program. And the ALICE program is basically teaching teachers and students how to defend yourself when there's an intruder instead of being sitting ducks and waiting for the intruder to come shoot you. So that is a beginning. When I went to the Surf City ribbon cutting in July, that school is maintained by the Surf City Police. So I was in there talking with the Surf City Police and also the fire marshal. There is a program, a project called, for lack of it, repeater system. The repeater system is that you put it in a school so that your walkie-talkies within your EMS, one can hear one from one end of the school to the other. From what I've been told, that's not happening. Now, I also have been told by one of the town chiefs that I've talked with that it's about $20,000 to put in a school. But I guess my point being, is it worth putting in this particular system so that the EMS can talk from one to the other, not have to go outside to call anybody? You know, that's what happened at Parkland, whether the SRO was scared or either he had to go out and call. So that is one thing, the repeater system. I also think, too, that the SROs that schools have need to be trained at, for lack of a word, SWAT level. In other words, these guys, I know that they go through their shooting thing once a year, but if you can't run and you can't are not physically active and there's no physical session or program that you have to maintain every year, you may not be protecting the group of kids that you need to protect. I need to lose weight, so I'm not talking about weight. But what I'm saying is let there be a physical program that SROs need to pass every year as well as their shooting program. And that's not happening. Once you take that physical, you could be an SRO for 30 years and, you know, you never have to take that calisthenics, whatever you want to call it, ever again. I think that needs to be changed. If they're going to be the first responder in our schools, they need to be as physically and as mentally tip-top as we can hire.
Recently, a lot of folks have been focused on sexual assault with so many people following the Senate confirmation hearings of Brett Kavanaugh. And I'm wondering whether it's the middle school or the high school level, should schools be doing more to teach kids about sexual assault and what is right and what is wrong?
Absolutely. Pender, again, has instituted a program that I hope will just broaden. Report, not repost. In other words, you report it. You don't necessarily just put it on Facebook and say that it happened and be an anonymous source. But girls in particular, and I have talked to girls, especially middle school. Middle school is my forte, and I'm sure it probably wouldn't be any different in high school. But girls in particular at a young age needs to understand that it's not okay to be touched in areas that they feel uncomfortable. And the girls and a lot of my girls that I talked with in Pender County over my years felt like, well, that was status quo. That was something that just happened. So, yeah, there needs to be a program that you can add it to the sex education, which has, in my opinion, been watered down way too much over the last 20 years. But there needs to be a program where girls are taught that. There's also needs to be a program about how guys are supposed to be gentlemen. Mm-hmm. You know, and that totally goes against culture, especially when you look at the music that a lot of our children listen to. The music and the lyrics actually post the opposite, that it's okay for women to be treated as such, and it's okay for men to treat women that way. So it's almost like you're going against a culture thing, but that's not taught, and it needs to be. It needs to be a school-wide, not just a guidance counselor, one-on-one, case-by-case. It needs to be a school-wide program that's being pushed.
Let's talk about school performance. Okay. And what needs to happen for Pender County to raise the performance of those schools that are being graded on the C or the D level?
Okay. Well, let's first understand the C or the D level, okay? When the state gives you that report card, the state is saying that 80% of that C is passing a test. Okay, 20% is making growth. Now, in my opinion, the state's messed up, but that it is neither here or there. You need to look at a child making growth. In other words, if that child goes into third grade and he's reading on a third grade level, by the time he finishes a third grade, he needs to be fourth grade and above. That's making growth. That's what school does. Not passing a test doesn't mean that you can't read on grade level. It could mean that you have test anxiety. It could mean that we as a system push it so much that we complete the kids blackout before they get there. Now, with that said, we also have kindergartners in Pender County that come in with 1,400 vocabulary words versus kindergartners that come in with 400 vocabulary words. Now, here's my thinking outside the box. And I've talked to several resource people in Pender County. The traditional theory is, yes, these children start in kindergarten behind. Let's pick them up an hour and a half a week. That's not going to cut it. We need to have some type of program where we can take our babies that come in at 400 vocabulary words. That doesn't mean that they are exceptional children. That doesn't mean that they can't learn. It just means that they haven't been exposed, that their home life, their culture is different from another culture that comes in. So why can't we have an immersion program where you put these 5 and 6-year-olds in total reading immersion, total math immersion, half a year, 9 weeks, you pretest and you post-test. It is basically sort of like a catch-up program, but it doesn't mean that it's a bad program. It means that we want to immerse your child so that they will gain vocabulary, they will gain a reasonable way to respond, they will gain math skills. My theory is science is a reading course. Social studies is a reading course. Math is a problem-solving course. If you can read and you can problem-solve at and above grade level, science and social studies are going to come on board. So that's one of the things that I think would help. Because I'll be honest with you, when I get sixth graders that cannot read, they're gone. They're almost lost. They have been behind since first and second grade. They're going to be behind when they graduate. If we don't get them in kindergarten, preschool, if we have a wonderful preschool that has a pre-post situation where you can look at those vocabulary words and start working on that preschool before they get to kindergarten, that's where you're going to catch. That's where you're going to catch it. Now, the other thing is that in Pender you have families that are economically able to enrich their children. Museums, vacations, daily outings at Fort Fisher, whatever it may be. But you also have a culture in Pender County where I'm a single mom and I'm surviving. That's all I can do. So with that type culture, then that's where schools have to take up the slack. I'm all for field trips. We've had superintendents in the past, for whatever liability excuse that they had, cut out on field trips. There's no field trips. You do not have to go to Washington, D.C. to have a really good field trip. But field trips and resource people coming into your schools is a wonderful resource to augment what you have. So that's our two areas that we need to work on.
June Robbins is running for District 4 in the Pender County Board of Education. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.